This episode of Own the Gray is brought to you by I Am. Discover your unique talents, realize your potential, and align to your path. Take the first step to uncover your life purpose by visiting deborahjones.ca/courses. I'm talking with body confidence coach Kleena Byrne on how to create a body positive environment for yourself and your family. Kleena coaches people on how to start loving their bodies and how to boost their confidence. She helps you to stop comparing yourself to others, to validate yourself, and to know that you are good enough, just the way you are. Welcome to Own the Gray, a podcast to dispel the notion that aging is undesirable and setting new positive attitudes. I'm Deborah Jones, and I believe you can be vibrant and healthy throughout the best years of your life. Welcome, Kleena, to Own the Gray. You know, as we age, our bodies change, right? And our metabolism naturally slows down. However, society keeps telling us that we need to fix ourselves, and we can be really anxious about that and dissatisfied with just simply being who we are. And many of us, both men and women, we own a belly pouch. Well, you're a body confidence coach. What things do you hear your clients saying about theirs?
About their belly pouch? Well, you know, it depends on who the client is and what their situation is. If I'm talking to someone who's developed a belly pouch over the years, they're going to have a different relationship to it than maybe someone who's given birth and has a belly pouch. Or, I mean, there's various different things, but I always hear some things that are quite similar, which would be, how do I get comfortable with this? How do I accept this? Because we're constantly sent the message that we're supposed to have flat stomachs, which is super unrealistic, and the concept of a flat stomach. It's not supposed to be flat. If you look at small kids, they never have flat bellies. It's not something that naturally really occurs unless we're starving. So it's how to make peace with this part of the body we're told we need to get rid of, we need to shed, we need to tone up. And that really, again, it depends on your situation. For me, before I became body confident, I used to have this real hatred of that part of my body. And now I love it. Like now I take photographs and I show it. I don't hide it. I don't suck it in. It's part of me and I like it. It has some stretch marks on it and it sticks out. And it's mine. It's part of who I am. So yeah, everyone kind of says the same things in slightly different narratives of, I hate the pouch because I got it from when I gave birth, or I grew it. I put a lot of time and money into this pouch. But it comes back to, like, I feel like I have to hate it because society tells me there's something wrong with it. And usually it's not because the person has like a real issue with their tummy as such. It's just that they're told, I should not have this. This is why I feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. So it's, you have to become comfortable with it.
Yeah. Well, society, you know, we call it society, but I mean, we're all part of that. We're all, we all play a part in that. We've judged others as well. And as far as how we can learn to see our bodies differently without judgment, and judgment is the thing that creates all the problems, isn't it? We're judging ourselves, others are judging us, or we feel that others are judging us, even if they're not. What can you tell us about how we can start to learn to love ourselves?
So when it comes to judgment, the best thing you can actually do is to start being aware of your own judgment. Because what happens is when we're feeling really bad about our bodies, we actually look for the imperfections in other people. So we start this whole process of paying attention to how people look and looking for their flaws. And this is such a habit for some people that they don't even realize that it's something that most people don't actually do. So this could be, maybe let's say, for example, you're sitting at a coffee shop and you're watching people go by and you're thinking, oh, she would look so much better if she didn't have that tummy pouch. Or she's really good looking, but she has crooked teeth. Or he's handsome, but he's short. You know, and you start like finding people's flaws, perceived flaws. Mm-hmm. And what happens then is you get this momentary feeling of relief because you go, okay, well, at least they're not perfect. That makes me feel better about myself. But that's, you're fooling yourself, because what actually happens is you feel better for about 2 seconds and then you feel worse because you're reaffirming to yourself that everyone really cares about how you look and everyone else is judging you on your appearance. Mm-hmm. So the first thing to do is to start getting out of the habit of doing that. And the more you get out of the habit of doing that, the better your relationship's actually going to be with yourself, because you'll find as you judge others less, it helps you to judge yourself less too. So what I always say to clients is start paying attention to that. How often are you doing it is the first step. Like, notice it, pay attention to it. And then after that, start instead looking for the positives in people. And you could decide, okay, I'm going to look for the positives in people's appearances. Okay. But what I think is better to do than that is to start looking for the things you like in people you know. So for example, pay attention to, okay, why do I love my mom? She's a beautiful person on the inside. She's caring. She's loving. She's wonderful. She can really cook. She's good at everything. And start listing it and then think, okay, well, why do I love my best friend? Well, she's really good at listening. She is a funny, hilarious, thoughtful person, so on and so forth. And you'll start to realize that your lists never contain things like, well, she's got a perky bum, or, you know, he's got a six pack and that's why I love him. And if it does, maybe you need to reevaluate a little bit on why you love people. But usually for 99% of people, it is a situation of the people we love them for stuff that has nothing to do with how they look on the outside. And as we start to explore these thought processes, we realize, wait a minute, my value isn't based on how I look. And also, not everyone's actually judging me in the way that I was judging others. So you start to rewrite the narrative that you keep telling yourself all the time. And that's really how you stop this thing of judging yourself. It's actually looking outside of yourself for a while instead of constantly looking in towards yourself.
Wow, that's a really clever way of doing it, because it allows you to pay attention to things that are just that subconscious thought, you know, the one that's just running in the background all the time. But I love the idea of paying attention to see how often you have those types of thoughts. You know, it could be all the time. You know, that would be very eye-opening, wouldn't it? And maybe one of the reasons why you may not be satisfied with the body that you have. So your coaching, you coach people with body confidence. Where did that start? Why did that start? And why are you doing it?
Oh, so a long, long time ago. What happened, my situation was that I hated my body. Like, I really did not like my body. And I had this whole idea in my head when I was younger that once I looked the right way and once I was slim, everything was going to be like sparkly and shiny and my life was going to be so wonderful. And I decided that I was going to lose weight. And I also had to have a jaw realignment surgery because my bite went to the side. So I couldn't properly bite into things. I have nearly no photographs of myself from when I was a teenager because I was so uncomfortable with the fact that my face wasn't symmetrical. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have this operation, have my face fixed, and I'm going to lose all this weight, and then my life will become amazing. So I did those things. I had my jaw fixed. I could finally bite into an apple properly. I lost weight. And then I still wasn't satisfied. I have this memory of looking in the mirror and thinking to myself, okay, well, maybe if I lost a little bit more weight and maybe if I changed my hair. And then I just suddenly stopped and the thought process just kind of came to a halt. And I just realized I'm sick of myself. And I realized I was so sick of being so critical of myself and constantly focusing on my appearance. And I had convinced myself that my life would become sparkly. It hadn't. It had stayed the exact same. And the problem wasn't actually how I looked. It was myself. and how I was treating myself. So that took me on my own journey of figuring out how to fix my relationship with myself. And there was no one who existed who could actually help me with this. I was so on my own. I felt like I was the only person going through this. And then years later, when I was working, nothing to do with what I'm doing right now, I used to work in social media and consulting and helping other people write tweets. And anyway, I realized that everyone around me really felt the way that I used to feel. And it clicked. I was like, wait a minute, I had to figure this out by myself. I wanted someone to help me with it, but that person didn't exist. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to fix that gap. I'm going to step into that gap that's opened up for me to actually help people with this issue. So that's what I did. So I went off and I got qualified to become a coach. I researched my subject immensely and started working with people, and I haven't looked back since. But yeah, wow. It was just, I became the person that I needed.
That's beautiful. And you know, that's perfect. You know, the way you see a need and you fill a need, and here we are today. I noticed on your website, you talk about different things. There's body positivity, body confidence, body neutrality, and also body liberation. Do you want to unpack that a little bit?
Sure. I have a very quick, simple way of describing all these, because there's all these like terms that float around and no one knows what they mean. And they're like, what are all these things? So body positivity is often mistaken for having a positive relationship with your body, but actually doesn't mean that at all. It's part of a movement that's based on bodies that are marginalized and to stop them being marginalized. So we're talking about people of color, trans bodies, disabled bodies, anybody that is marginalized in society, and fat bodies. That's the other one as well. Sorry, fat bodies too. Mm-hmm. So this is a movement to stop these bodies being marginalized, to get better rights, to be treated better in society. And that's what body positivity is. So it's a political movement. That's the one that's different.
Okay.
The other ones then are like a scale. So basically you have having a bad relationship with your body. So you could call that body negativity. Then you have body neutrality, which it is what it is. It's having a neutral relationship with your body, which means that you basically accept it, but you don't think highly or poorly of it. Now, a lot of people I speak to, they say that's their goal. And I always say that is a really low goal to have for yourself. I would not accept a neutral relationship with anyone in my life. For example, I wouldn't marry someone and say I feel neutral towards them and think that's right. Totally acceptable. So I'm not going to do that with myself, because for me, I strongly believe that your relationship with yourself is the most important one in your life. And it's the only relationship that actually lasts for your entire life. So you might as well make it a good one. So neutral is feeling neutral about your body. Confident is meaning that you feel you feel good about your body. You have a positive relationship with it. It may not be a perfect relationship, but it's good and you feel good about it. And that's where I help people get to. So as you see, the neutral is kind of like meh. Like, have a good marriage with yourself. Have a good relationship. And this is where we're going to get you to. And then the body liberated is at the very end of the scale. That's where I exist. And that's when you feel liberated from your body. You don't think about it. It doesn't define you. It's not something that takes up a lot of your headspace. It's just, that's my body. It is what it is. I'm fine with that. So that's what all the terms mean.
Thank you. Now I've got a much clearer idea now what all of those things are. And that liberation, being liberated, meaning that it doesn't pull you down, it doesn't trip you up. It's a very I would say comfortable place to be. And I think that would be I would think your goal as a coach to help people get to that point. Is that true?
Yes. For me, my main goal is to get them to be body confident. And then the body liberation, it happens after they've worked with me. It's something that comes with time. It's funny because it's like when you have a bad relationship with your body, it takes up so much of your mental, emotional, and often financial energy. And then when you become really good with it, it doesn't take up any. It's kind of like how, you know, you don't really think about apples all day long because they're fine, you know. Apples are okay. Apples exist in the world and that's okay. But you don't obsess about it. You're not obsessing over that one apple sitting in your fruit bowl. It just, it is what it is. And it's the same with the body. So my goal is to help people get to that point. But as I said, it's like, it comes with time that you just kind of get over it and realize it's just not a big deal how you look. It's fine.
Yeah. I love that. I was talking with you just before the show, and I was telling you that I was looking for a nice image that we could use for this podcast. And I put in the word belly pouch, and all of these things came up. First of all, before I hit the images, it was all about how to get rid of and why you have it and why it's not acceptable. And all of these things came up in my search, nothing positive about it whatsoever. And then when I got to the images, there was the image of someone squishing their belly fat and looking really upset. There was the image of putting a tape measure around their waist and not looking very, very happy at all. And then there were images of women that were pregnant with the same body pouch in front of them, but with a whole different image, with love and caring. They would hold their bellies gently. They'd put a little heart with their fingers on the front of their belly. And the contradiction was really very stark. It was very, very clear that one is acceptable and one is not. And what are your thoughts about how we can move away from this society-led idea that different shaped bodies are not acceptable? We all have to look tall and thin. And what are your thoughts on that?
What I would say is, you know, when you think about those images, for example, the reason most of them are like that is because we're so used to hearing the narrative of make your belly smaller, get rid of your belly fat. And that's usually because there are huge industries like the diet industry and the beauty industries that are encouraging us to buy their products. So they tell us that there is a problem and then say, and I have the solution for your problem. So they create the problem and then tell you there's a solution for it. And one of my favorite cases of this is cellulite, which I don't know the exact percentages off the top of my head, but I think it's something like 90% of women have cellulite, and that it's one of the features that represent the gender of being female in the same way that breasts and hips do. So it's a very normal part of the body, and it's normal that the skin ripples in this way. And years ago, I'm not going to even name him because he doesn't deserve any credit, but there was a French gentleman who decided that he was going to create a product to get rid of cellulite. And since his creation of his product, we now have this whole anti-cellulite fiasco going on, where there's all these different products available for us to get rid of our cellulite. Even though that is the equivalent of saying to a female, hey, I've got a cream to get rid of your boobs. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But here we are. Here we are with so many people feeling embarrassed about cellulite. So it's the same for belly fat. It's this thing of people are trying to sell you things to make your waist smaller. And that's because of the diet industry. And we're just, the diet industry has been going with so much money behind it for so many decades now that we're just so used to hearing that narrative and strongly believing that any bit of fat on our bodies is the worst thing in the world, even though it's not. It really is not. So I think ask yourself, what is it that makes me feel so uncomfortable about this part of myself? And you can usually trace it back. It can either be traced back to a comment someone made to you back when you were younger, or it can often be that you're just so used to hearing a certain narrative that you just believe it's true. And again, it's only with parts of the body where people are usually trying to sell you products that you start to believe there's something wrong with it. Like, I don't really hear people talking about, like, make the gap between your toes smaller or larger. Because no one's selling you a product, I think there could be somewhere out there to make that gap bigger or smaller. But if there was, if that was a huge industry, by God, we would all be feeling insecure about the gaps between our toes.
Yeah, for sure. I in that the searching that I did when I was looking for pictures, there was a picture of the Venus of Willendorf. And that is that goddess looking woman. Apparently, it was created, the statue was created 25 to 30,000 years ago. And it depicted a woman that was very voluptuous and very curvy. And, you know, back then, somebody thought it was worthy of creating a statue of this body shape. And so when I see that, I smile because there are some similarities there. But there is such a focus in society and with some of the women that I speak to, especially women, not necessarily just women, of when we see somebody, we comment on how they look. So for instance, oh, you've lost weight, you know, that's a common one. What other things could we focus on other than the body appearance when we are out in public and when we meet friends and family?
Yeah, so I would say, just stop commenting on people's bodies. It's a habit we have got into without even really thinking about it. And I don't mean you can never comment on someone's body. I'm not saying like, I don't know, if it's someone's wedding day and you feel like you can't compliment the bride or something like that. I'm not talking about that. You can still say to someone, oh, you look gorgeous. That's fine. But these comments where it's like, oh, you've lost weight, or, oh, you are looking so much better than you normally do. Or, and these comments are made all the time, but literally if you say to someone, oh, you've lost weight, you're basically saying to them, when you took up more space, you weren't as worthy as you are now that you take up less space. And I'm going to compliment you on it because I appreciate the fact there's less of you. So, and that's not actually a compliment. It's actually an insult when you think about it. So what I'd say is, that's another thing to pay attention to. How often am I focusing on people's appearances that the only thing I ever compliment them on is their appearance? So many people only compliment other people on their appearances when there's this whole beautiful array of things you can compliment someone on. So what I'd say is, instead of doing that, replace it with something better, which is to compliment them on things of non-appearance-based compliments is what I call them. So compliments have nothing to do with their appearance. And that could be just, I mean, there's a whole array of things you could do. So it could be something like, you know, when I see you, it always makes me smile. Or if, you know, someone's been through a difficult time recently, just be like, you know, that thing you've gone through recently, I've watched you go through that and I admire how you've handled that situation. Or just being with you makes me feel good. Or literally that, instead of going up to someone and saying, oh, you look fantastic, you've lost weight, just be like, every time I see you, I have a big smile on my face. Nice. That compliment alone is going to make someone feel so good. And they will not forget that compliment because it's such a good compliment. It's not just a standard go-to one. If someone said that to me, I'd be like, oh, damn, that's amazing. Thank you. I love you too. You know, but like actually compliment someone on something that has nothing to do with their appearance. You're funny. You're such a good listener. Whenever, like when you say goodbye to someone, be like, thank you so much for passing this time with me. I've really enjoyed your company. I always loved spending time with you. Like there's so many things right now. I'm like, which examples do I even choose? Because there's so many beautiful things you can say in comparison to, have you lost weight? Which again is not actually a compliment. It's just an insult.
Right. That kind of leads through to, I know you do a lot of work working with moms, and that the impression that the mom has about body confidence or not can really pass down to the kids. Now, we may have some younger moms listening to this podcast, but we also have a lot of grandparents that can also affect how their grandkids might feel about their bodies. What can you share with us for us to be aware of, things that we could say and things that we should be cautious about?
Okay, so I'll talk about it from the grandparents' point of view, because I always talk about it from the mum's point of view, but let's talk about it from the grandparents' point of view. So a lot of people think that how we form our body image is to do with, you know, what we hear in society and what we see in magazines and on TV and social media. But that's all secondary. The primary place where we actually form our relationship with our bodies is in our homes, with our families and the people closest to us. That's the thing that impacts us. And every single family has a body image culture. And a lot of people are not aware of this, but every family has a culture in the way that they talk about bodies or how they treat bodies. And that could look like, let's say you have a thing in your family, like a rule where it's like, none of us can wear stripes. We all look terrible in stripes. Or none of us can wear the color blue. We all look bad in blue, or whatever it is, right? Everyone has these rules, or like they have very clear ideas on how you're supposed to look or how you're not supposed to look. And that could be the men aren't allowed to have long hair or whatever it is. But these little rules exist in every family and they create the culture. So what happened to all of us when we were young was that we came into the world not, you know, caring. We were body liberated. We didn't care about our bodies. We could run around the place naked. We didn't care. But over time, we started to care. And why we started to care was because we received negative comments from other people about our bodies. And that can usually be from, like, everyone can think of one when I bring this up, but someone you cared about, may not be direct family, but someone you really admired or cared about said something to you that was negative and it never left you. And this is for men and women and everyone. It could have been a comment about your weight. It could have been a comment about, I don't know, you've lopsided ears. It could have been literally anything, but it stuck with you. And then what else stuck with you was watching how your parents felt about their bodies, how they communicated about their bodies. And that could be, let's say, if you had a parent who was always trying to lose weight, or a parent who really cared how other people, you know, perceive them, or that they were very judgmental of other people. And that's what formed your own body image. So by the time you become an adult, you usually have the same hang-ups that your parents had. You basically inherit them. You just get passed on these hang-ups, which means that you passed on yours too. Which means when you had a child, who's now an adult, but when you had a child, if you were walking around saying, oh, I feel awful, I feel disgusting, I feel fat, I need to lose weight. Oh, Miriam's wedding's coming up. We all need to go on a diet beforehand. Oh, you can't go out looking like that. And all these comments, They built your child's body image. And particularly if you made comments that were talking about, you need to lose weight, or you need to make sure you look this way, or you can't go outside without your toenails painted, or whatever it is. They took all those comments on. It built their body image. And now they're passing that on to the next generation. So it is a generational thing. And we have a responsibility to actually become body confident in order not to pass on our hang-ups. So when you become body confident, it's not just for you. It's for that line of people who are coming after you. So what I would say is, as a grandparent, if you're listening to this right now and you're like, ah, I'm guilty. Oh, no. What am I going to do? It's too late. Don't panic. You're fine. I've got answers. Don't worry about it. So the first thing I'd say is, don't make comments about your grandkids' appearances, your kids and your grandkids' appearances. Don't do it. I can't go a week of my life without someone saying to me, my parents or my in-laws keep making comments about my kids' appearances. What do I do? How do I handle it? Mm-hmm. And it's a constant thing where one age group is so used to a narrative that's never been challenged that they don't consider that it could be causing harm. They don't see it as harm. They're like, well, I'm concerned for the kids. I want to make sure they have the best. I'm taking care of them. And yes, you are. But maybe there's a better way of doing that. And the better way of doing that could be not making negative comments about their bodies, not pointing out if someone's gained or lost weight, And instead, focus on you yourself becoming the role model that they need. So becoming this body confident role model where you're passing on a heritage, a lineage of people of feeling good about yourself. And the only way to do that is to genuinely feel good in your skin. So you can teach them how to do that too. And it's never too late. It is never too late. I have clients of various different ages, but the common thing that I always notice for anyone that's 50 plus is they come to me and they always say to me, Cleena, I have not liked my body for my entire life. I can't keep going this way. There has to be a point in which I'm going to like my life or like my body during my life. Mm-hmm. And what happens is we get into this place in our minds where we start to say to ourselves, I'll like my body once X, Y, Z. So I'll feel good once I look a certain way. I'll feel good once I lose the weight. I'll feel good once. And next thing you're getting older and, you know, that you're kicking the can along with, you know, once I'm a size, whatever, then I'll feel good. Because realistically, that's not going to happen. Your body's changing. That's fine. And next thing you realize, oh, I'm 60. I haven't done half the things I wanted to do because I was putting it off because of the way I looked. And now I'm looking back at photographs of myself from when I was 20, 30, 40, 50 and realizing I looked totally fine. Actually, it was kind of hot. Why did I feel so bad about myself back then? And it starts to click, this thing of I've spent my whole life not liking myself. But when I look back on it, I'm like, wait, the issue wasn't my body. It was me. And I'm still going on with the same nonsense, like a broken record towards myself. It has to stop at some point. And it can stop. It just means you have to say, I'm ready to actually have a good relationship with myself and actually put in a bit of effort towards liking myself. And once you do that, you can show the next generations how to do the same. But you have to know how to do it in order to teach it. That's the important bit.
That's really great advice. Do you have one simple thing that you can share with us to start doing that?
Yes. So my favorite bit of advice to give to people is what I call mirror magic. And it is super easy. Now, why I give this one to people is because this takes no time. It doesn't cost you anything. It takes no real effort. So it's easy to implement and it's extremely powerful. Whilst simple, yet extremely powerful. So what I want everyone listening to this to do is instead of frowning at yourself, which is what most of us do when we see our reflections, we frown and we give ourselves this horrid look that we'd never give anyone else on this planet. But anyway, stop doing that. Stop approaching your reflection and looking at it with a frown and looking for your imperfections and scanning yourself and saying to yourself, I'm fat, I look tired, I'm aging. Instead of doing all that stuff, what I want everyone to do instead is to start smiling at themselves. Now, I'm not just saying that because, oh, it sounds lovely to smile at yourself. There's a very logical reason to this. So first of all, what it's going to do is when you smile, even if it's like a fake forced smile, it helps release feel good hormones. So your serotonin, your dopamine, all those lovely hormones. So a fake forced smile is going to do that. So even if you're not feeling good, if you fake it, it will help you feel good. And in the beginning, this thing of smiling at yourself is going to feel really weird and it might not feel natural to you. So what I always say to people is if you need to make it kind of ridiculous, you know, wink at yourself, blow yourself a kiss, do whatever it is you got to do to actually maybe even make yourself laugh a little bit naturally. So you're going to retrain your brain by doing this. You're going to see yourself, you're going to smile, you're going to feel good. And over time, you'll start to associate seeing yourself with feeling good. So even if you forget to smile sometimes, you'll be like, oh, it's me. I always feel good when I see me. This is what it'll do. So it'll help you to actually feel good when you see yourself. That's the first thing to do, right? And that is so easy. Like I said, yeah, it doesn't actually take any bit of real effort. It's just, oh, it's me, smile. And I tell people, don't just do it when you're getting ready in the morning. Do it if you see yourself in a shop front, wherever it is, give yourself a little bit of a smile. Just try it. And I promise, if you do that even just for a week, you'll start to see such a difference with how you start to see yourself and feel about yourself. And if you want to make it that extra bit spicy, when you do it, add in something positive to say about yourself. It could just be, I'm looking great today. You know, I'm gorgeous. Maybe that's a smile and be like, I'm gorgeous, and laugh and walk away. Just try it even for a week, even just do it once. And I promise you'll be like, damn, this is good. This is good advice.
Thanks for listening. And did you know that positive reviews from listeners like you help me get these messages out into the world? Leave a rating for Own the Grey on your podcast app or at ownthegrey.ca. This episode brought to you by Lunch with a Healer podcast. The best conversations happen when you're having lunch with a friend, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair at lunchwithahealer.com.